Luke chapter 21, we're going to begin with verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of the city depart. And let not those who are in the country enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth dismay among the nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming upon the world. For the power of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And Jesus told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the leaves, and all the trees, as soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and know for yourself that summer is now near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happen, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, during the day, Jesus was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would come up, get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us life through Christ. And Father, we know that you have appointed a time for the end of this heaven and this earth. Father, I ask that we would not be consumed with that particular day, but that we would recognize that we are servants of the living God and have a responsibility to sound forth the gospel message to all those who yet have not believed. Father, there is a need for man to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, that we would not neglect this great privilege and honor and task to share the gospel with others, that they might hear and might believe. Help us, Lord, to look at the time and know that it is short. And yet, our job is not to worry about that date, but to tell others about Jesus. Give us strength to do that, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in our passage today, Jesus continues to speak of the events that are unfolding, both the fairly soon to happen destruction of Jerusalem, and also talking about the coming of the Messiah in all his glory. So during this time, as we are studying this passage, there will be things that I say that there might be other scholars that would disagree with the timing and what I'm talking about. So if you don't agree with something that I say necessarily, it's not a crime, because certainly this passage of scripture is difficult to put together in understanding exactly what the discourse is that Jesus is pointing to, but I'll do my best to try to show you what I believe is what is being said in this passage of Scripture this morning. Verse 20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of the city depart. Let not those who are in the country enter the city. Because these are the days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with child, to those who are nursing babes in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled upon foot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So one of the things that we are, this certainly is a passage that's speaking of current events. What is going to happen. From history, we know that Jesus, his ministry was about 33 years or so, and then another 35 years, roughly, 36, depending on how you count it. The temple in Jerusalem is destroyed. Remember, all that's going on in this grand scheme of things is that the Messiah is coming and is speaking to the coming of the kingdom of God. And we know that he's specifically speaking of the salvation of man through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, the Jews of this day thought that Jesus was coming to be a political leader and was going to chase Rome out. And what happens in history is that Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary. Third day he rises again, 100 days or so after that. He ascends into heaven, and the church begins to do their work of spreading the gospel. And the Israelites get so belligerent that Rome finally destroys Jerusalem, just tears the temple down and depart because they are not following God's will. That's God's part of the plan, and they were not obeying the Roman government. So they destroyed the strength that they have, so to speak, of their religion by destroying the temple. What we see as believers, we look at what took place and we see that God is willing to display and pour his wrath out upon those who continue to rebel against him. We've seen this a couple times already in the history of Israel. When God sent Babylon and Assyria to take the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom into captivity. And when the Israelite people repent of their sins, they're able to return to the promised land. And from that time on until this time, they did remain true to the concept of one true God. But yet their worship was all over the place as far as what they were really trusting. And eventually they were trusting in their own selves, their own system of religion, and not really placing their hope and faith in God and in God's Messiah. And so God brings his wrath upon them for not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ or in the plan that God had. Israel was the chosen people of God, and yet when they continued to rebel and disobey against God, they really didn't think God was going to bring his wrath upon them again, but he did. It was very cataclysmic. And the description is such that if you are pregnant or if you're nursing children, man, it's going to be really tough. There's bad, bad, bad stuff that's going to happen when the Roman army comes in and destroys the temple of God. And it was horrific. Many, many people in Jerusalem were killed in this event that Jesus was prophesying on in these five verses And what you should take away from this, and how you should be warned, is that God is not mocked. God is going, God has judged sin, and he will punish sinful, rebellious, unrepentant man. So even though the Jews were God's chosen people, since they did not place their hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God poured his wrath out upon them. And when Jesus comes again, we're already warned that Jesus is not coming again for salvation. He's coming to end things. He's going to bring the church, those who have believed, are going to be gathered together and be raptured into the new heaven and the new earth. And those who have continued in their own selfish lives and have not trusted in Jesus Christ, they will spend eternity in hell and face the wrath of God for all eternity. That is a promise of God. And this small example of what happened to Jerusalem is just a reminder to us that God is willing to do this. God will punish the rebellious, the sinful, the unrepentant man. He will do it. All right, verse 25. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and upon the earth, dismayed among the nations in perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves. Men fainting from fear and expectation of things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. So Jesus quickly shifting from this temporary judgment and display of the wrath of God upon Jerusalem to the end times, when Jesus is going to come again. The destruction of Jerusalem is just a warning. Be warned that God is willing to take care of this situation. He is not going to allow sin to prevail. He's not going to allow the rebellion to continue forever. But there will be a day when Christ will come again. But before that time, we will expect that things will get worse and worse as God is providing a warning for his coming judgment upon all of mankind, the Gentiles especially. But suddenly, there will be a time when God will complete the promise of the judgment of rebellious man and pour his wrath out upon sinful man, and they will face the wrath of God for eternity. And it will not be a hidden event. I know quite frequently people have questioned whether the Messiah has come again or whatever versions of that kind of concept might be out there. But the fact of the matter is, when Jesus comes again, it will be very obvious. All will see and all will know that he has come again. And there won't be any more opportunity for salvation. If you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, by that day when that trumpet sounds, then that's it. No more chance. Verse 28. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So as we witness the events of the world, strange natural phenomena, men becoming increasingly wicked, men becoming increasingly fearful of things and expecting what they don't know, which is the coming judgment of God, and seeing all kinds of junk take place in the heavens and the earth, then we need to recognize, hey, look, it's approaching. It's coming. And the church needs to recognize these events are taking place. And as he says here, straighten up and lift up your heads. Or in other words, be ready to act. Continue to do the work of the church. Share the gospel with those who are perishing. Do all that we can to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all that we can to prepare others for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your head, because your redemption
is drawing near.
Verse 29, Jesus told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourself that summer is now near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognizing that the kingdom of God is near. Now, we're in the fall season right now, so this is, you have to think back to the spring on this, but here, really, in a lot of ways, we recognize fall. I mean, we start driving around town, and you notice that the leaves are falling off of trees, they're starting to change colors, the grass is drying up, my garden's almost spent. You know, all these things are signs that winter's coming. But next spring, we'll be wandering around and I will begin to see my lilac bushes starting to bud. And then the leaves will come out. And then there'll be flowers. And I will know that spring is coming because I will see those buds. I will see the buds on the trees, the buds on my plants, knowing that as the leaves start forming, as little bitty leaves, and I know they're going to get bigger, that spring's here. It's coming. When we see the world becoming more wicked, that men are more fearful, that things are in chaos, then we recognize that the time is coming. Just as the fig tree warns us that spring is coming, we can look at these things that are going on, these unusual natural phenomena and stuff that's going on in the lives of men, to know that Jesus Christ is close to coming. It's headed our way. And the fact of the matter is that God is not springing his judgment upon sinful man at all. He has told us how he has judged sin, and he is continuing to give plenty of opportunity for men to see their sin, repent of that sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one's going to stand before God and say, I didn't realize what was going on. You may not be willing to admit that you see what's going on, but all will stand before God and recognize that they have rebelled against God. They knew they were rebelling against God, and they deserve whatever punishment they receive. It is a promise from God, and God has given us warning now about that. So today is the day of judgment. Today is the day to prepare for eternal life or eternal damnation by just letting it slide. Verse 32. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Now this is really a pretty difficult verse, and there's been lots and lots of suggestions about the meaning, but the best way to think about this, I think, is that when you talk about generation here, you're not talking about a single generation, like the difference between Lori and Emily, but talking about the age of the church. God has brought the church together to be the communication of his glory to all of mankind. The warning for sinful man to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church and their work is going to continue in this battle against the enemy until God's time is complete. And then God will bring his final judgment. We don't know when that day is exactly. That's why we're told, prepare for it. Because it's coming. We know. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ ascended to heaven. Promised that he will return. And so we know it's coming. Let's be ready for that return and get our ducks in a row, get our business taken care of with God. Now, this is the opportunity that we have right now. Verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And this is primarily a warning to us and a reminder to us that God's plan is not going to be thwarted. God has made a plan. God has promised to bless those who trust him by faith. God has promised to punish those who remain in their sin. And God's word is not going to pass away. There will be a moment in time when these events will take place. And God will judge mankind. The faithful will go to be with Christ. The rebellious go to everlasting punishment. Secondarily, this is a promise to us, especially of the church, that God's promises are assured. Quite simply, all those promises that we have in the Word of God's mercy and grace toward men who will place their hope and trust in Him will be saved. Trust Jesus. It's that simple. It's not complex. It's not difficult. It's just so simple that some people can't believe it. But you should believe it. God loves us and has provided a means of salvation. Repent of your sins. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. So, especially as believers, we need to have a long view of events that are happening in our minds. These current events and the circumstances of life as we live life can sometimes distract us from what real life is and cause us to lose focus on God's final victory. And it is true that we need to take care of today's business. But while we're taking care of today's business, we should never forget that our ultimate goal is that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified again through our lives, and that we would trust Him and have eternal life. That's the ultimate goal. So be on your guard. Don't let the things of the world distract you. Jesus is the answer, and you better believe in that answer. Verse 35. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. And this kind of reminds me of playing hide and seek as a kid. When you get done counting, what does everybody say? Ready or not, here I come. And that's exactly the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When that day comes, ready or not, God's coming. And if you're not ready, you can't get ready. You're just caught. So God's judgment is coming upon this heaven and this earth. Be prepared. And that's what Jesus says right after that, verse 36. Keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So everybody in this room, keep on the alert. Christ is coming again. God's judgment is coming upon all of mankind. Pray that you have made the right choice and that you would be strengthened to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, to meditate upon that word, to live that word, so that God would be glorified in and through your life, and then you will be able to stand this eternal test. Get to the end, you've trusted Christ, stand for Him. You will be found to be an approved servant of God. And here, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's the goal. Stand firm, church. Stand. Jesus is coming again. We have this great hope. No matter how wicked and how chaotic our world seems, Jesus has had victory over that sin and chaos. Verse 37. Now, during the day, Jesus was teaching in the temple, but at evening, He would go out and spend the night at the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to Him in the temple to listen to Him. So, put this back into perspective of what is going on here. Jesus' sacrifice is quickly approaching. It's going to happen before the end of this week that we're studying here in Luke. And yet Jesus still is teaching the people God's plan for salvation. If you're willing to listen, then they would be saved. If they don't listen, they're going to be a part of that crowd yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Jesus is going to pray they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. Because God has a plan for the salvation of man. And certainly we are the most fortunate of all generations because we can see what God did with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And we can see what God has done for the rebellious. We know that God is willing to bring his wrath upon sinful man. We know that from various passages of scriptures, but especially when we see the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, we can see that God was willing to pour his wrath out upon those men who had rejected his Messiah. We know that God is willing to give us warning and tell man that they are facing the wrath of God. We see that time and time again in the scriptures. And we also know that God has fixed a time when he's no longer going to extend his mercy upon sinful man. When Jesus comes again, that's it. No more mercy, no more time. If you haven't trusted in Jesus by then it's over. All that comes is the judgment and the wrath of God. So I urge you this morning to be prepared for the consequences of your choice about Jesus and about eternity, because it is an eternal choice. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace and love. And I pray, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts. Comfort us as if we have prepared and trust Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would awaken the hearts that are cold to you, that they would believe, repent of their sins, and trust Jesus as Lord, that today might be the day of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the great hope that we have in Christ, and I pray that you would ever be glorified in and through our service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.